And welcome to Grounded with Brandon and Craig. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Craig.
Yes, you are. Over there making like Martin the Martian like sound effects or something. You were like, okay, I'm ready. And then I was getting ready to start in and you were like, what are you doing?
You sound like the Jurassic Park when they're waiting for the water to, you hear this boom and yes. The water goes boom.
Yes.
We were somewhere the other day. And we did that. Oh, we were at Tim Hortons.
Yeah. And you were kicking the table.
And I hit the table and my coffee.
I thought there was a T-Rex getting ready to come through the parking lot.
That would have been awesome.
Right?
Yes. So speaking of coffee, I don't even know what you made, but it was really good. I had my shot of espresso. And a couple guys were in here, a couple of RLers, Willie and Dan were in here. They got some coffee.
Our coffee pot is drained.
It is very drained. What did we have?
So the coffee itself is just black.
Oh, see, that's why it was so good.
Black Rifle, just black.
Yeah, that's why it was so good.
The shot of espresso was 30 presents out.
That's really good. And I'm looking down by on your shelf down there, you have Blackbeard's Delight.
Blackbeard's Delight.
Yeah, we had that for a while.
Yeah, okay. It's been a while. Logan and Michelle gave me that. That looks really good.
Is that like your hidden stash down there? You don't share that or what?
No, I just didn't have room up on the shelf, although the shelf's getting kind of sparse.
It is. So just black is good. You know, you've had the 30 presents out. We've had Blackbeard's Delight. What else did we do? Black Rifle.
I like AK Espresso. That's one of my favorites. It's a super dark blend.
Espresso.
AK Espresso.
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 Gotcha.
Yeah. So Flying Elk is up here. We've had it. Lava Panther.
I like that.
Lava Panther is the one in the red bag. That's really good. Rick likes that one a lot.
Okay.
It's gone.
Did Rick steal it?
No, we drank it all. No, Rick bought his own. I'm trying to think. Silencer Smooth. I've got that at home right now.
Okay.
Beyond Black is good.
Oh yeah,
Beyond Black is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
Tacti Squatch,
like
is
that.
Good.
I like the logo to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there we are. There's your rundown of Black Rifle Coffee, and that's just scratching the surface of what they have available.
Yeah, I mean it's a really phenomenal coffee. It's really really good. And so if you ever get a chance to try it, I'd definitely try it. And then we have the K Cup Black Rifles, mm-hmm. which have like that maple bacon smell to it.
Yes.
Which is really not bad.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
not good. Bad at all. And you put the espresso in that. It's super good.
Oh yeah.
Super good. So,
you know what makes the Black Rifle coffee better?
Me?
No.
Drinking. Wow. You didn't even think about it. You just, bam, no.
Drinking it out of a possum mug.
Well, that's true. And me.
And you.
Okay.
Yes,
there
correct.
You go. Yeah. So, it's a beautiful Monday morning. I have complained about Monday mornings, you know, a lot because it's been cold and 10 degrees and snowing and frost and ice and all that stuff. But this morning on my way over here, my truck read 55 degrees. We're going up to 71. I'm looking forward to it. Awesome. Can't wait. I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be really nice. I sent you this cartoon earlier, and it's this lion and this lamb standing outside of these two doors, and above the doors, one says enter and one says exit, and it says march above them. And the lion says to the lamb, say, how about this year you go in and I'll go out? And the lamb said, yeah, it'll freak them out. That we're kind of coming in like a lamb.
We kind of are.
We may be going out like a lion.
Well, you're right. We might be. And that means that Easter Sunday is going to be wild.
Oh,
we could have snow Easter Sunday. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how terrible would that be if we had like 5 inches of snow Easter Sunday morning? That just would be rough.
We would definitely have to sing Jesus Paid It All.
So we could sing. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Sin has washed. He washed it white as snow.
That would be good.
So,
there's some good Easter songs.
There are some good Easter songs. Are you going to preach less time so we can sing more of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, I was under time
yesterday. You were under time
like,
first service.
First service, I was like 4 minutes.
We don't know what happened.
Second service, I was 35 minutes.
Right, because the computer shut down, so they had to
what
restart
happened there?
Twice.
I know. When I looked up and the screen was black up there, I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And so out of the corner of my eye, I looked over to my left, you know, to like the crowd, and I could see the screen booted back up again. And I was like, do I chance to, cause I read from the screen. And, sure enough, we were up and running and rolling.
Up and so, running.
What so. Happened?
I don't know. It just, the computer crashed. Like it's twice yesterday. It just shut down ProPresenter. So
is there something we need to do?
Randy, or? Maybe. Randy, great job getting that back up and running as quick as you did because. Yeah. It was
like a showdown because when I looked up and saw that thing, I bet there was a little bit of scrambling going and mental scrambling going on back in the booth though when that thing went down.
I'm sure
it could be rough.
Randy had it going on.
Good. So yeah, that worked out well. Good day yesterday and
yeah, very good day. Very good day.
Pretty decent crowd and heard the kids were, had a lot of kids yesterday.
Rocking and rolling over there.
Yeah, it was, really good. And, again, it was a beautiful day yesterday. So what's going on with you besides having no wife at home?
I have no wife at home.
It's like being a bachelor again with
yeah,
three
but,
kids.
But she didn't take any of the kids. So she is in sunny Florida. It's, our high today is probably what it was when she woke up this morning.
Oh gosh.
So
she is in Naples, right?
She's in Naples. Yeah. And, they're going out on the boat today. Her dad's going to take her out on the boat. So
I should have been in Naples.
You could have been. Yeah. She FaceTimed us yesterday. She was at the beach and then she walked over. She's such a sissy. She walked over and put her feet in the water. She was like, it's cold.
Yeah. I'm sure that water is a little cold.
I'll get punched when she gets back for calling her a sissy. Yeah. I'd have probably been in the ocean. I don't know. I bet it's cold. There were people in it. I mean, I could see people.
I mean,
in
how cold could it be? I mean, it doesn't get really that cold down there. I mean, I guess it is a little chilly, but
it's chilly. Yeah, I don't know. But no, she's having a good time. Her flight Saturday evening was delayed, so she didn't get in till like after 10:30. They didn't get back to home until like after midnight. So.
What time was she supposed to land?
She was supposed to land at like shortly after 9, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that is late.
Like it was, or it was 8 something maybe. I can't remember.
Couldn't be that long of a flight. What was it?
It's a 2 hour. Yeah, it's under 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they made good time once they finally got off the ground.
Dustin and I were flying from Cincinnati to Orlando. It's been several years ago, and we were coming from Orlando to Cincinnati. We were coming back, and we were on a later flight. And so our flight left like at 8:20. And so it was 8:20, that we were supposed to take off and our landing time was like 10:22 or something like that. I'm telling you no lie. We took off like 2 minutes before 8:20 and, we got up finally, you know, he leveled off. The captain came on and said, we've got clearance to fly at 39,000 feet. We're opening it up. He said, we'll have you guys in Cincinnati in about an hour. And I was like, dude, it was an hour and 22 minute flight from Orlando. I don't know how fast we were going, but we were going and we landed in an hour and 22 minutes. It was crazy. Now, usually the flights take about 2 hours, but that night, that captain was, he opened her up.
He was ready to,
at 39,000.
He was ready to go to bed.
Yeah, he was. He'd probably been flying that track all day long and he's done with it.
Exactly. Goodness. So no, everything's going smooth. I told you earlier, the kids, we got out the door on time this morning, got the kids to school. So
good.
Everybody had breakfast and good. I packed 3 lunches and so it was all good. Tonight, I invited you up for dinner. You turned me down.
Wow.
And then you were like, what are you having? Tacos? Today's Monday, bud, not Tuesday.
Okay.
Tonight.
I thought you eat tacos 3 times a week.
No.
What'd you have yesterday?
We did have Mexican yesterday. I had a Baja Mex salad with shrimp. Your favorite. Yeah. The kids had, we got a large queso and then Jordan and Kennedy, all they got was, a side of rice and they put queso on their rice.
Okay. The rice would be fine.
Christian got a cheese quesadilla with rice.
Okay. I could do a quesadilla.
Yeah. So you would just order off the kids menu.
I do a quesadilla, cheese, chicken, quesadilla, just nothing in it, plain. Yeah. Give me that. I could do that.
Yeah.
I just don't like the smell of the restaurant. I've eaten there a couple times and I'm like, I just don't like the smell of this place.
Yeah.
You walk out, like, then you go away and all of a sudden you're like an hour later. I'm like, what's that smell?
No, you definitely.
I'm like, my clothes smell like that Mexican place.
You definitely have to wash all your clothes.
Like hose you down when you walk out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
bad. One of those mist machines. You walk out, it's like
you walk out smelling like a fajita on that little cast iron pan.
100% you do.
Yeah. But no, it was good. We went down, we had lunch, we got groceries for the week for lunches. And so, yeah.
Look at you.
But tonight.
Tonight.
We are having a tomahawk steak on the smoker.
So how many ounces is this steak?
I'm not sure. I've got to go buy it, but they're normally about 3 pounds.
Really?
Bone included.
And that's for Christian. What are the rest of you eating?
Yeah, Jordan and I are going to have hot dogs, I guess. No, Jordan, Christian, and I are going to share the tomahawk. Kennedy's going to have hot dogs.
Good call for her.
Yeah, she's not a steak girl.
Yeah. She doesn't like her hot dogs.
Her loss. Oh, she loves her hot dogs.
Yeah.
So you come up, you and Kennedy can have hot dogs.
I'd actually do the steak.
Hot dogs and tater tots. Yeah. They're trying to talk me into making cheesy bacon tots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to have cheese sauce made up anyways because I'm going to make a little bit of mac and cheese and put that in the smoker as well.
Okay. It's like a good plan.
So, yeah.
Sounds like a good plan. So, but you get her back Wednesday.
Get her back Wednesday.
Afternoon, evening, morning?
Early afternoon.
Okay. So that'd be good.
Yeah.
So then does she have to go back to work or is she off the rest of the week?
She works Thursday, Friday.
Wow, that's a quick trip.
Yeah.
That's hardly enough to get your feet wet down there.
I know.
Just about the time she's starting to let down and enjoy it.
Right.
She's coming back.
Oh, she's enjoying it. It's warm there. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal.
It's warm here.
That kind of bugged her. Was looking at the weather before she left.
But when she comes back, it's freezing.
It's
going to
get cold
again. Cold.
So she was looking at the weather. She goes, ugh, it's going to be warm here while I'm gone. I'm like, well, can't she be happy for us? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, love you too.
At least can she be happy for me? Please be happy
right?
for
be
me.
Be happy for Craig, Allie. Come on.
And if I'm happy with the weather, everybody else
happy.
Is happy, right?
If Craig's happy, if it's kind of like, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If Craig ain't happy, ain't nobody
so
happy.
Yesterday somebody asked me, like, hey, you didn't talk about the weather. I was like, no, it's you know, it's getting pretty nice. And they were like, do you really hate winter that bad, or is it just a thing? I was like, no, I really
oh,
do
it
hate
is
winter
not
that
a,
bad. I said, it's not a joke. And I told the person what I told you. There's only about 14 days out of the year that I actually enjoy. The rest of them are either too hot, too cold, too rainy, too windy. And they just started laughing at me. They're like, you're serious. And I'm like, dead serious. 14 days out of the year.
You know what I'm going to start calling you?
What?
Goldilocks.
What's that mean?
You know, it's like she goes and she tries out the bed and this one's too soft and that one's too cold. And finally she finds one just right. And then she goes and eats the porridge. It's vice versa.
Too hot.
First she finds
cold.
The porridge. Yeah, yeah. Porridge is too hot. Porridge is too cold. Porridge
stays
is just
too
right.
Too windy.
Yeah, exactly.
Stays too dry.
Right.
You know, in Goldie my defense, lies. I don't complain about a whole lot except the weather.
But you complain about the weather enough.
A lot.
So, Goldie, that's a good name for you.
Goldie. I got a couple good names for you, too.
Thanks for joining us for Grounded with Brandon and Goldie.
So, this guy, a few minutes ago, and we'll get on to the topic at hand, he's like, said his daughter drew something on his iPad yesterday. And the drawing was Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig.
So, he's like, I'm like, I don't know who that is. And so, he pulls up this cartoon, and I'm like, 30 seconds in, I'm like, dude, shut it down. I don't want to see this. This was like crazy cartoon.
She was on holiday.
Yeah. Why are you watching that? That is just crazy. I grew up with the Pink Panther and Scooby-Doo. But now
she's pink?
Yeah. Yeah. Peppa Pig.
Thanks for joining us for Grounded with Brandon and Craig.
He said with Peppa and Pig.
Peppa and Pig. I'm Peppa and he's Pig.
I just like the I just like the British accents.
Oh my gosh.
Like in one episode they goes to see the Queen.
When she was alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Was that a good episode?
I don't know. I really haven't watched much of it.
Did you say your kids watch this, but you pretty much have the
I think they tether these shows for us adults.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's like Scooby Doo. I mean,
oh, I love Scooby Doo.
Right. It's like the Pink Panther. That mm-hmm. I mean, kids watch it, but
oh, yeah.
You know, I enjoy that more than
oh, absolutely
now than I did.
Absolutely,
because they're like this was something.
Mm-hmm.
My Dustin was watching the Pink Panther one day when he was older, and he was like, "These people had to be on drugs when they made this." I'm like, "Right?
Oh, absolutely,
100% they did.
Absolutely." My Christian watches a show that is actually really good. It's really neat, really informative, and it's called Wild Kratts. And these two guys, and they must be biologists, like They do a lot of stuff with animals and insects and everything, and they, but that's what they're, it's a cartoon.
Okay.
Where they've taken these two guys, and so at the beginning and the end, they actually show the two guys.
Okay.
But then they go to the cartoon and they do these things and try to save the animals and whatnot. But you learn a lot about different species of animals and like ants and lizards and all kinds of stuff. And so, so that's kind of neat. So at least he's watching that versus something that's going to rot his brains.
Does he watch, ever watch Mr. Rogers?
It's been a while. I don't know that he's ever watched Mr. Rogers, but did you know there's now a cartoon based off of Mr. Rogers called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood?
Yeah, I did know that. That's been around a while.
Yeah, it's been around a while. It's pretty good too, but it's.
Yeah. But Mr. Rogers is just.
I love Mr. Rogers.
I mean, you learn a lot.
Like, you do. You do.
I was watching, this has been a couple years ago. One of the grandkids was watching this and he went to some place and they were showing how things were made. I didn't even know that. I'm like, oh, I just learned something. Mr. Rogers is still teaching. And I'm at that time, I'm like, and I'm 55.
Exactly. You know what? Mr. Rogers may be good for Christian to watch because he's not the best at tying his shoes.
Right?
I mean, Mr. Rogers put on his shoes every episode.
He did. And that sweater.
And the sweater.
The zip-up sweater. Yeah, that's really cool. So
maybe we'll watch Mr. Rogers tonight after we eat.
Mr. Rogers Marathon.
There we go.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Well.
Anything else going on with you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Just life is life, you know. Life. Gonna be leaving tomorrow.
Life is life.
No.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Leaving Monday. Leaving Wednesday. Right.
You need a vacation.
Yeah, I do.
You need to go on holiday.
Right? Peppa.
I'm going on holiday. I'm going to go to Tennessee.
Yeah, I got to take off for a few days and go spend some time with some friends of ours, and looking forward to that. And you get to end out the sermon series, which is going to be exciting for you and everybody else. And you're talking about glowworms and radiance and all that good stuff.
Yes.
So
I love my glowworm.
Yeah, you're still working on it. Almost done.
Getting there.
Yeah,
I should have it done by Sunday.
Well, that's the goal.
That's the bar there. Sunday's the bar. So yeah, I should be done
by tomorrow.
Good for you.
Yeah,
you get it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, you guys have a good time away and enjoy some time in the mountains.
I love the mountains.
You can't beat it.
I love it. No,
and hopefully, is the weather going to be nice down there?
I checked it out. 70s most of the week. A little rain, maybe Thursday or Friday, but looks pretty decent actually. So
okay,
we're looking forward to it. So,
good.
But I've actually we started this series on first Sunday of January, and we went 10 weeks?
Yep.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
So we went 10 weeks with the Ten Commandments, and we went 10 weeks with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, some of the things that we talked about was really not for a lot of people. It was more for me. It was stuff that I was going through and working through, and so I felt like that, you know, when you're going through things and you start looking at scripture, I just happen to know that human nature is human nature.
Yeah.
And we all go through the same thing.
Yep.
It might be a little bit different on the spin.
Right.
But we all go through the same thing. And so taking a leap of faith, I think, is one of the most difficult things in the world to do.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, I can take a leap of faith. Yeah. But can you take a leap of faith and trust that God is going to do what God says he's going to do when you are trying to work through forgiveness?
Mm.
Can you do it? And not get angry because the person that wronged you is acting like they're right and they're not? Can you do it?
Mm.
I mean, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Can you forgive? Can you take a leap of faith and when somebody's gossiping, either shut it down or not join in the fun? Right? I mean, these are all things that are really difficult. Can you take a leap of faith and not be filled with fear and worries and anxieties and trust again that God's going to do what God says he's going to do? And so, you know, when it comes to all the topics that we've talked about, you literally have to take a leap.
Yep.
And it's a blind, stinking leap.
Yep.
And God's going to do what God's going to do. And you trust him that he's going to do it.
Absolutely.
Hard to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, I find it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe everybody else finds it easy, but I sure don't find it easy at all.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, maybe it's easy for Peppa over here. But
Peppa, yeah.
Peppa.
No, not Pippa.
Peppa.
Peppa.
No, that, I think that's so true, though.
Peppa and Goldie.
I find it, here we go. I find it that a lot of times that to be true, that, you know, a lot of the sermons when I'm speaking, it's more, I needed it more than right. anybody else, I think. So
I found good. That out too when I'm doing the sermons that you probably need it worse than
You are not wrong.
You are not wrong.
Yeah. So, but yesterday we talked about baptism.
We did.
A topic I think that we feel like in the church that we talk about a lot, but we probably don't talk about enough.
I think we do, actually.
And, you know, baptism is one of those things that, you know, you talked about a little bit yesterday, and we'll get into this, but it's one of those things that I think, because of church and churches and denominations and traditions and family members and whatever, I think that it's misunderstood of what does right. the Bible actually say about baptism? What is baptism? What does baptism look like? Why do you get baptized?
Exactly.
And so you kind of broke down all of that, which I thought was good. And so you started off by reading something that we have a banner of in
right.
our sanctuary. And that is the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is the last thing that Jesus said to his
Basically,
disciples.
Basically, this is it.
As far as we know, this is what he left them with.
Right.
Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
This is not a suggestion. This isn't like, hey, Brandon, if you feel like it, if you get up and you know, you don't have to do anything with it, but just in case it happens, just, hey, go for it. No.
Right.
This is actually a command for everybody. This,
correct.
This is a commission. This is a mandate. And so, I think a lot of times when it comes to the Great Commission is we don't put enough emphasis on that and we don't really talk a lot about it because we feel like somebody else is going to do it.
Somebody else is going to do it. It's not my job. I watched a really good video of John Piper talking about that last week because I was kind of prepping songs and stuff. I thought,
yeah.
you know, I was looking up because as I was looking through your sermon outline and, you know, that was a question that got sent into them at Desiring God.
Right.
And it was like, you know, is the Great Commission meant for the masses pretty much?
Right.
Like everybody, all of us. Normal folk included, or right. is it just for ministry leaders? Is it just for ministers? Is it right. just for pastors? You know, and I think that is a mindset that people are like, well, but that's not, Jesus said that to the disciples.
Right.
That's made for church leaders. Right. You know, that church leaders are supposed to do that. No.
Right.
We're all, and so when it says go into, you know, all the world, you know, he says, go make disciples of all nations. The way I look at that is you have your world that you go into every week.
Right.
Whether that is a school.
Right.
Or a place of employment, or maybe you go to the gym and work out, or you go and you're part of a sewing club or an archery club, or you go and you make pottery once a week or once every month with a certain group of people or whatever. That's your world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have a world that we go into, and the Great Commission is made, Jesus commands that for us to, you know, not turn it off and turn it on. It's uh-huh. not one of those things was like, okay, it's time to go do ministry
right,
now.
Right, right, right.
No, it's ongoing throughout my day, no matter where I'm at.
It's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
And it's going to be inconvenient. Honestly, it's going to be inconvenient. You know, when you look at that, we always feel like that, you know, yeah, well, it's almost like we give leftover time. To right. the Great Commission. Let's go.
Right.
We give our leftovers to that. And I like what Mark Batterson said, and he actually had a huge long diatribe on this, but I just pulled this out because this is really good. He said, the Great Commission will not be fulfilled with our spare time and our spare money. Mm. And he's right, because a lot of times it's like, okay, yeah, if I have the time, or yeah, here's a few dollars if you guys need to go do something
right.
with that. No, this has got to be an emphasis, because this is what Jesus has commanded. This is what every church needs to be about. And you know, Jesus is the one who is telling us to do this. Now, you know, how did Jesus start his ministry? He started it by going to the Jordan River and being baptized by John the Baptist. And how did he conclude his ministry? You already said that, you know, by all means, this is about the last thing that Jesus said. So he ended it by talking about baptism.
Right. And the importance of it.
And the importance of that. And so in Matthew 28:20, he says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then Jesus also said this in Matthew 28:18. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So here's the point of all this, okay? This is a command. And so Jesus has all the authority and he has all the power, and he tells you and me and this whole entire world and the Christian community to go and to teach and to baptize and to disciple. Guess what? That's a command. You can't get out of that. You can't say, hey, I don't feel like it. I'm not wired that way. I think I even said this yesterday. I don't think any of us are wired that way. I think it's just something that we have to be commanded to do and to listen to Jesus when he tells us to do it. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything mm-hmm. that I've commanded, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So he's there. He's with you. He's inside of you. And the thing I think we have to realize is that Jesus and the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what Jesus said, the very last parting words with the Great Commission, I mean, he still means those today. So if I understand this correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, we are to go into the world, we're to lead people to Jesus Christ, we're to baptize them, we're to teach them, and we're to disciple them, and then teach them to observe everything he taught.
Exactly.
Is that it? That's it, right?
Right.
So whatever else we do is just what, bonus? Smoke and mirrors? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But this, you already talked about this, you know, people get into this thing where we mix Bible with upbringing or family, the way our family believed, or we mix Bible with a denominational stance. And I think when it comes to God's Word, we can't land on, you know, what somebody thinks or what a denomination thinks. We have to always come back to the Word of God, and that's what we always have to do. And when God's Word talks about baptism, we have to listen to that. Am I right? I mean, that's what we have to do. I mean, it's like there's no choice in that. So,
exactly.
You're right over there?
Yeah, I'm looking up something that's going to come into play here shortly. It was, there, oh, I found it. It was removed from Facebook, so I had to search it up. But anyways,
go ahead. No, in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. And I love this. It's like, mm-hmm. show me the right path, O Lord. Point me on the road to follow. And how do you do that?
Right.
Only by the Word of God. And only by listening to what God wants you to do. So here's the question that I asked yesterday. What's the biblical meaning of baptism? And so we got into the story of when in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if people realize this, but Jesus walked from Nazareth of Galilee to the Jordan River. That's 60 miles.
Yeah.
That's a long way mm-hmm. to go to be baptized. Am I right?
Yes. I mean,
and I calculated it out. I actually cheated. I went online and put, how long does it take to walk normally 60 miles? And it was between 22 and 30 hours. That's
not counting rest.
No,
that's just how long it takes to physically walk.
That's not stopping to go to the bathroom. That's not stopping to get something to eat. That's, like you said, not resting for a couple hours because your legs are hurting. So I'm pretty sure it took Jesus a couple days, if not more, to go to be baptized.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the thing is, he could have just snapped his fingers and got him there.
Right.
Think about that.
And here's, okay. So here's the other thing that we have to be careful of is, you know, we have to make sure that we are biblically, theologically sound.
Right.
And so, you know, and you mentioned this yesterday at some point of, you know, if you say anything that doesn't align with the Bible.
Right.
Like, we need to be in our Bible till we know, oh, that's not right.
Right.
What about when the Bible says this? And so,
right.
But we have to be, especially parents of young kids, we've got to make sure that, you know, it's not a tradition thing, or it's not a, hey, well, this is right. what my grandma said,
right.
so this is
right
the gospel truth.
Right.
And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful about what our kids are watching. We have to be careful about what our kids are reading. So Jesus came to John to be baptized, right?
That's the story.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we are baptized for the what? Forgiveness of our sins. Mm-hmm. Right? And we're able, you know, we repent through that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, however, had no sins. Jesus did it as an example. And you made the comment, and I've made the comment a lot as I talk to people of, if it was good enough for Jesus, it was good enough. It's good. It should be good enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, if Jesus did it, I should, and says that I should do it, I should probably do it too. But there's a children's book out right now. It can actually be bought on Amazon, I know. I don't know if it's like at Walmart or anywhere else. But in this book, I saw this on Facebook the other day, and I should have sent it to you, but I wasn't thinking. But John the Baptist says, it says, "Why do you want me to baptize you?" asked John. "You should be baptizing me." So that's pretty accurate.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that, right. 100%.
He says that. "I have come to the river today to wash my sins away," said Jesus. That's in a children's book. Jesus in this children's book says, "I have," on baptism, says, "I have come to the river today to wash my sins away." And so
wow.
I say that to say, read your Bible.
Wow.
Read your Bible, because that's how Satan is working. He's trying to make something look good. It's what he did in the garden.
Wow.
It's exactly what he did in the garden. He's like, "Oh, look at this fruit. Look how nice it looks." Did God really say? He gets you questioning. And so some people may read that and be like, "Oh, okay," and just move on.
Right.
And think, you know, what? Jesus had to repent of his sins.
Wow.
Jesus had no sins to repent of.
Wow.
So do we need to sign off? Because I can see like you are like flabbergasted at that.
I'm going
to
need more espresso.
Right? But that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
In our culture.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you read a quote at the end and it put in there about the He Gets Us movement.
Right.
You know, we are trying to make Jesus like us.
Yeah. And he's not. He's not. He's just not.
Right.
He's just not. I mean, to dumb down, to water down the gospel, which is what they're doing.
Exactly.
There, is that, you know, they've taken away the perfect Lamb of God. They've taken away the perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind.
Right.
So I don't know how that even got passed. I mean, I don't know what company printed that.
But right.
Hopefully it's not a Christian publishing company.
Exactly.
But, I don't know.
So, but anyway, so back to what we were talking about, and that is, what is the biblical method of baptism?
Exactly.
What does baptism physically look like? And you read there in Mark 1:10, it says, as Jesus came up out of the water.
So if he's coming out, where was he?
He was down in the water.
He's down in. It's obvious Jesus was immersed, right?
Yes.
So I gave an immersed definition. It's to dip or submerge in liquid.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a good one.
Pretty simple.
So I put, why was Jesus baptized at the Jordan River? John 3:23. John the Baptist was baptizing in Enon near Salem because it was so beautiful. Because it was his favorite spot on the entire planet. No, because there was what?
Plenty of water there.
And the people kept coming to him to be baptized.
Yes.
And people have to realize something, even today, the Jordan River is a deep, flowing river. And I don't know why. It hardly ever dries up. It hardly ever rescends. It is a deep, muddy river. I mean,
right.
There is a ton of water in the Jordan River. It takes a lot of water to baptize somebody.
Yes. Yeah. And then you have to look, into, you know, some, and you said, you know, you're not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar. I took a year of it. But you do have to look at the original writing.
Yeah.
And so the word here is baptizo, which means to plunge, to immerse, to sink, to wash, to be immersed.
Exactly.
That means, you know, physically going underneath of the water.
You have to, you know, the Bible talks, when I read the Bible, it is 100% water immersion, baptism.
Right.
There's no way that any baptism was on a sprinkling or pouring.
Right. You look at, was it Peter with the Ethiopian eunuch?
Right.
And, you know, he's comes alongside of him in the chariot, and they're reading the scriptures, and he's talking to him, and he's like, he stops the chariot, and he's like, "Well, there's plenty of water here. Why can't I be baptized?" And it says they went down into the water.
Right.
And he baptized him
And do you remember what happened after he was baptized?
Yeah. Peter just vanishes.
Like, If you're the dude in the water with him, are you going to be a hair freaked out?
But he wasn't. He went on his way rejoicing, it said.
So it's like if there, we have a baptism Sunday and you're here and you baptize that person and you just disappear. Where did he go? We never heard where he went. Where did he go, bro?
Right.
I want to know where he went, bro.
That's crazy. Yeah. But
he's sitting there looking at me like, I don't know.
The Bible doesn't make a big deal out of it. And no. The Ethiopian doesn't make a big deal out of it. It says, you know, he went on praising, you know, God.
I'm like, okay, great. He was baptized. He heard the word of God. Perfect. Where did he go?
Where did Peter go?
Where did he go? I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Well, Jesus, I'm actually not this Sunday, but next Sunday, going to talk a little bit more about Nicodemus because this is such a good story. Yeah. But Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and in John 3 verses 3 through 5, he says, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, well, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? But Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot in that, but
yep.
you get the point that Jesus is saying, and you making the point very clearly, Bible baptism is literally by immersion. And
right.
you cannot get away from that.
Yeah.
I like well,
and you look at Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Pharisees put all of this weight and importance on all of these other things
right.
about their prayer boxes and their tassels and they're standing on the corners and praying and they could only walk so many, you know, feet or steps or yards or right. whatever on the right. Sabbath and this and that. And so they were making themselves look good and appear good
right.
when Jesus is like, none of that matters.
No,
you've got to be born again of the Spirit and water,
and
the water and Spirit.
And Jesus looking inside. Not on the outside.
Correct.
And I can't tell you how many Christians today, it's an appearance still, mm-hmm. An appearance of what it is. And that's just not good.
Right.
I like what Wayne Smith said. He said, some churches are getting so lazy today when it comes to baptism. I expect some churches to take members in over the phone and baptizing their photographs.
It's true.
And this was said years ago.
Right.
So it still applies.
How long has Wayne been dead?
Oh gosh.
I can still hear his laugh.
6-7 years maybe.
I can still hear his laugh.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He was good.
A laugh you'll never forget.
So I gave a couple Greek words. You already brought up the Greek. You're such a Greek scholar.
Oh, yeah. You know me.
I do know you, Peppa.
I like the Greek.
But the two Greek words I gave was rantizo, which means sprinkle, and rue, which means to pour. And that's not what we're talking about today because – and we're talking about yesterday because literally we are talking about – baptism, baptizo, which is translated into to immerse or to dunk or to submerge.
So, right.
What are you doing, man?
I pulled
this guy has been playing around the entire time. It's like I'm in here with.
I'm just trying to make you jealous. I just got a text from my wife, so okay. I pulled it up on my computer. They're out on the boat. Look at that blue sky behind them.
I'm jealous.
I figured you would be.
You know, if you could superimpose my Bitmo behind,
right? Oh, I could. I could.
Colossians 2:11-12. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. This is a good verse. You know that? This is a very good
yes.
verse.
Yes, it is.
Not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. This is awesome. Cutting away your sinful nature. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and you were raised to a new life because you trusted. Here it is. Taking a leap, you mm-hmm. trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. This verse right here is supreme.
It's very good.
Oh my goodness.
Very good. And that really sets up your next section as well. And that is, what is the meaning of baptism? And if you look at that, it is a representation, and we've already been talking about this some this morning,
right.
but it is a representation of what Jesus did
right.
when he went to the cross. He was buried in the tomb, mm-hmm. and he rose from the dead.
Exactly. In Romans 6, this is good, 4 through 7. For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. This is my favorite part of this.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer slaves to sin.
Yep.
For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I absolutely love this. Are you all right over there?
Sending my wife a picture back.
My goodness.
Don't be jealous.
I'm not.
You are.
But I love that because doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but it just means you're not a slave to sin.
Correct.
And I love that. So you have to remember that baptism is a burial and a resurrection. And this is very important for us to realize because there's a whole scope of the meaning of baptism here.
Right.
And it is 100% the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't get away from that.
Right.
This is why the whole, you know, being baptized, the symbol, the mm-hmm. method, the meaning are all surrounded around the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, this is short, it says, Christ died for our sins just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says. That's the gospel.
Yes.
That's the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that's it. It is.
And then through that, we have the promise that he gives us, Romans 6, 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was.
Exactly.
So we die to our old self. We are raised to new life. And here's, you know, as you were talking a few minutes ago, it made me think. It's like, I think it's so easy to get, especially for new Christians, someone who's made that decision. I fall in this trap sometimes, but you know, you're baptized mm-hmm. and then you fall into sin mm-hmm. again. And it's like, ugh.
Right.
You know, I thought I was done with that.
Right.
And I was thinking about this a lot. We talked last night at youth group about, we're in Colossians.
Right.
And we were in Colossians 3 and it was talking about, it really went hand in hand with this message, but talking about taking off your old garment and putting on a new garment.
Yep.
And I was thinking, it's like, you know what? And I'm so guilty of this, but that old self, that old garment we took off, we just hang it in the closet.
Yep.
And we keep it accessible.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
And we don't allow God's spirit to move through us. And I try to do things on my own. I try to conquer sin on my own. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's so simple. I don't need God for that.
Exactly.
I don't need the spirit. But then what do I find myself doing? I find myself opening up the door to the, you know, the closet or whatever. And it's like, that looks good. Mm-hmm. I'll put on that garment mm-hmm. today.
Yeah. So, It's one of those things where you have to take a leap in this. And I think when it comes to baptism and it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's one of the points that I wanted everybody to get yesterday. So you understand why Satan wants to destroy the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ through baptism. That's why he wants people off on a tangent and being sprinkled and you don't have to do this because when he does that, you literally take away the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
In Acts 2:36 38 through 41, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise to you, to your children, and to those far away, and all who've been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time.
And you stopped and you said, you guys want me to do that? And first service, I was like, don't you already?
Right. Strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed in what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. This is astounding. About 3,000 in all.
That's awesome.
It is.
I wish I could have been there. We talked about that last night at youth group. I was like, there's some things that when we get to heaven, I really hope there's like this viewing room, like a theater. And you're like, you can go in and you can just request things like that to be shown. It's like, show me the day of Pentecost. Show me all those people being baptized. Show me, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. Mm-hmm.
So Peter's preaching. The Bible is this, is you have to believe and you have to repent.
Yep.
And the problem is that nobody wants to repent of their sins because we don't want to act like we're sinners here.
Right.
We don't want to act like, hey, we've done something wrong. So we try to gloss these things over, you know, hey, I'm not that bad of a person. It's just the way I am. But it's not that way. Let's just call it for what it is. It's sin.
Sin is sin.
So you have to believe and you have to repent of your sins and you have to trust that God is going to do through Jesus Christ what he says he's going to do. And this is where I just slightly pointed out, this is why we don't baptize babies.
Right.
Because they can't believe, and they can't repent.
That's a personal decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
100%.
I'm gonna be honest. I need Jesus every second of every day.
Yeah, you
You're
do.
You're looking at me like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And in fact, after we're done here,
should
we're
I get re-baptized?
We're going to go get baptized.
Okay.
Both of us.
Perfect.
Yeah, I might need to do that too.
Exactly. And but, you're right. You know, I think that is a great thing to point out because, you know, I'll be honest. I grew up Methodist. I was sprinkled as a baby.
Donald Trump's a Methodist too.
Is he? That. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We got a lot in common.
Right.
Both good looking and.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I was sprinkled as a baby. I got to be.
Isn't like, he like 6'4" or something like that?
We're okay. Both tall.
I'm just saying.
We're both tall. But anyways, I was, you know, 13 and I'm reading through my Bible and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I see baptism as a personal decision.
Right.
It's something that I have to decide. And,
right.
And so went through that process and started talking to my parents and everything. And so that's, you know, I think important for us to realize is that as parents, we want the best for our kids.
Right. Right.
You know, thankfully by the grace of God, they're under God's protection at that young age anyways, because
right.
You know, they don't understand what sin is.
No.
You know, as a baby, you know, you really can't sin.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at a certain point you're like, oh no, I'm not going to do what mommy and daddy says.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And then you
and
have
even
to,
then it's
even
like
then
a,
it's
trying to figure it out.
Yes.
You know, it's trying to figure that whole thing out. I didn't spend much time on this yesterday and I feel like I shortchanged it, but I'm going to do it again. But in Acts 16, 31 and 33, it says they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, which is very late, was it about midnight?
Yes. Yeah.
The jailer who cared for them, washed their wounds because there was an earthquake, a bunch of stuff happened, and then everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Now, what?
Is that the account where, and that's Paul and Silas, right?
Yes.
Is that the account where the earthquake shook open the doors and,
I believe so.
And the jailer thought that they'd all got escaped and he was going to kill himself? He was going to like fall on his sword and they're like, whoa, don't kill yourself.
Yes, exactly.
And then they began to teach to talk to
exactly.
him about Jesus and everything. And then his whole family.
Household. And here's the thing about this. We're such complainers and whiners. I'm just going to admit it. We're complainers and whiners. If we were thrown into jail, we'd be like, oh God, why are you doing this to me? I mean, I'm living a good life.
Right.
I got things to do. Da, da, da. No, Paul and Silas didn't complain. They actually went to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man and his household were saved.
Right.
If you're in a situation, and I hate to say this, no matter where you're at, how bad, how good, maybe God's got you in a situation for a reason
right.
so that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ and
exactly.
what that means. So, but I believe with all my heart as I read the scripture that, scripture points out the fact that you have to believe, then you're baptized. You don't, you're not baptized and then you believe.
Exactly.
So, Romans 6:4 again, where we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives.
That's great.
I love this verse. Now,
what a wonderful promise.
When you're baptized, you go into the water. That's like a liquid grave,
mm-hmm.
and you're buried, and the old you is buried with Jesus, and you're saying that, number one, you believe in Jesus, and you believe that in the death of Jesus Christ, and you believe that because of what he did on the cross of walking out of the tomb, your sins can be forgiven, and your sins are forgiven, and when you, and just like Christ was raised from the dead, when you're brought out of the water, it's a picture of Jesus Christ walking out of the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. So,
right.
There's a lot going on in a baptism when you see it. It may take 30 seconds, but there's a lot going on. And but here's the thing that I want everybody to know. One day I'm going to die, you're going to die.
Yep.
Come plant me in the ground. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary by walking out of the tomb and the resurrection, guess what? I'm going to get on my grave when Jesus Christ returns. That's a promise. That's what God's word says. And so baptism is very important because it also is proclaiming the second coming of Jesus Christ. So now you understand why the devil's so dead set taking the picture of baptism out of the church.
Exactly.
And water baptism and immersion, because you're literally taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out and the second coming of
correct
the picture of that. So it's very important to look at that. So
yep.
Ask the question, why be baptized? Well, you confess your master.
Yep.
It's Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Yeah, Romans 6:6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin.
You have a new master.
Our master is Jesus.
You're a slave to Jesus in what he wants you to do. So baptism saying, it's not my way, it's your way, Jesus.
Exactly.
Number two, you got a message to convey. It's the gospel. We've already talked about this. Mm-hmm. But when somebody gets baptized, literally that person, without saying any words, is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And I think that's why it's important that people witness people being baptized, even longtime church members who've been baptized 75 years ago. You need to see people being baptized.
Exactly.
There's a spiritual aspect. The Spirit works in that.
Exactly.
So, and number three is a mandate to the Great Commission.
Yep.
And Jesus gave the command to go, to teach, to baptize, and disciple. Not a suggestion, but it's 100% a command. It's a mandate. And then Larry Tomczak.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
You kind of came full circle, too. You started with the Great Commission. You ended with the Great Commission.
How about that?
How about that? It's like you planned it.
I did. Well, yeah.
But yeah, Larry Tomczak?
Tomczak.
He said, we need to reconsecrate ourselves to the Great Commission given us by Jesus. The pilgrims prioritized this in the original Mayflower Compact to proclaim, and I've lost the rest of
the gospel of the kingdom, not some he gets us distortion. There you go, right?
Yeah. I wanted to read that part.
Yeah, right? To see lives transformed, not merely affirmed, but by the power of the living God. And he's 100% right.
Exactly.
I love the word that he used, reconsecrate ourselves to the Great Commission, meaning let's rejoin up. Let's make this a priority. Let's do what Jesus has asked us to do. This is so important.
Well, and that is so good, because I think that, and this is another ploy of Satan, we've begun to use modern terminology on things.
Right, right.
Consecrate is not really a term that we think about.
No.
And, I think just, it's no different. We've talked before, you know, when it comes to marriage, with marriage, with it being a covenant.
Wow.
You know, that idea of a covenant.
Right, right.
And covenant is not something we talk about very often. And so we've allowed Satan to kind of water down these things.
Oh, 100%.
And then it's like, well, it's, you know, it just kind of is what it is.
Speaking of water, I see water in that picture behind me.
I do. It's my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured I'd keep that up to keep you jealous.
Okay. The palm tree swaying.
She said that they saw some manatees at the dock earlier, so she's going to send me a video or picture or something later.
Awesome. She's in Florida.
I think she's trying to make me jealous.
Is she?
It's going to be nice
outside.
Dude,
you could
outside.
Be in Florida with your wife.
I could
You could be sitting right here with me in your office.
I'd rather be in Florida with my wife. On a boat.
Yeah, I hear you.
Probably fishing if I was on the boat.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
oh, but that's okay. Goodness. So we've got next Tuesday night is the 12th of March at 6 o'clock. We have night of prayer. So I want to remind everybody of that. It's going to be in the church sanctuary. So hope you guys join us for the night of prayer. At the end of the month, on March 29th, right, is our Good Friday service.
Yep.
Friday, March 29th, 6 p.m. We're going to do Good Friday communion service, get our minds centered, ready to go for Easter. And then Easter Sunday morning, March 31st at 9 and 10:30, we're going to be celebrating Jesus walking out of the tomb. So it should be awesome day.
And, it's going to be good. Invite a friend or two or 10.
Or 10.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good one.
It is good.
So on April the 14th, we have Pizza with the Staff. If you're new to RCC and haven't been to one of these, and we just kind of get to mingle with you guys who are new over the last 24 months or so, and just kind of talk with you guys a little bit, introduce ourselves so you know who we are, and go from there. So we can sign up at richwood.church/sign-up. Sign up. You got it. Yeah. So what else?
I don't know. We close out our series this coming week. It's going to be good, talking about glowworms and or reflecting the light of Christ, and whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I think
you good.
What We Believe class is still going on.
Yep, second week this
two
Sunday.
More Sundays.
Yep. If you missed the first one or didn't get a chance to sign up, you're still welcome to come. And actually, they're talking about baptism and communion Sunday.
There you go. And I was going to say too. Perfect. You know, if you've been thinking about getting baptized or were convicted by the message this past week, or just have questions, we would love to talk to you about
Give us a call.
Baptism.
Yep. give us a call. Definitely so. You
about
all right?
Just, yeah, about just tipped my mic over.
Did you?
So, but yeah, no. I'm good. I'm going to enjoy this afternoon, I think, or at least evening while I'm smoking my tomahawk steaks. And it's going to be nice outside. What, yeah, it's going to get in the 70s, isn't it?
71, I heard.
Normally what happens, too, is they're projecting at 71, which means it's going to end up being like 76.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
That's how it normally works.
Still
like,
dressed a little warm for that.
Yeah. I've got sweatpants on. You're wearing shorts.
But I got long sleeves on. So go figure. You're wearing pants and short sleeves. I'm wearing shorts and long sleeves.
That's right.
That's what makes us the duo.
That's right. We fit like a glove. We're so perfect together. Peppa and Goldie.
Yes. There you go. So, welcome to Grounded with Peppa and Goldie.
Have fun on your holiday this week.
Thank you.
I'd never heard that term until Peppa Pig. Going on holiday. And now I listen to a podcast from, and they're out of England somewhere, called, it's the Running Channel podcast.
Yeah.
And I just love their accents for a while. Yeah. But they talk about that all the time, about going on holiday. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
You know, when we come in here on Monday morning, we have coffee and espresso. It's like going on holiday.
It is.
100%. So.
Black Rifle holiday.
Exactly. Hey, there's a lot of people that are listening, a lot of people who've been sick.
Yes.
Here at church, mm-hmm. And hey, I hope you guys get to feeling better. Hope you guys are on your way up. Hope the next couple of days the weather kind of helps improve your mood and your health. And I've been praying for you guys and those of you guys who I know that you're sick. So hope you guys are feeling better. And as always, thank you for listening and thank you for taking time to be with us, even though Brandon has a tendency to ramble every now and then.
Just from time to time. But, you know, I think you could be guilty of that as well.
Maybe.
Yeah. So
I'm going on holiday. So
you are going
matter.
On holiday. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Be safe. We'll catch everybody next week.